Today's scripture reading is about preparing a way for the Lord. In this scripture, the prophets Elijah and Malachi were quoted. They talked about and foretold about the coming of Jesus Christ. From these prophets, we learned that Christ is coming to be among us, bringing with him the treasure of grace. John the Baptist preached about his coming and preparing the people. John was dressed in and acted like Elijah, but he thought that he was unworthy of serving Christ. John the Baptist and the prophets, although talking about the physical coming of Jesus Christ, also has a message for us today, that we should prepare a way for the Lord in our own hearts by repenting our sins, by accepting God's grace, and by opening our hearts to the Holy Spirit. Listen now to our scripture reading, Mark chapter 1, 1 through 8. The beginning of the good news about Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God, as it is written in Elijah the prophet. I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight the paths for him. And so John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and the people of Jerusalem went out to him. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And this was his message: after me comes one more powerful than I, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Bless the reading and hearing of our scripture.
Thank you. Spaz out there for just a second. Apologize for that. A three-year-old was helping his mother unpack their nativity set as we go through every Christmas, putting it up, unpacking it at Christmas time. And he announced each piece as he unwrapped it from the tissue paper. Here's the donkey, and here's the king, and here's a camel. When he finally got to a tiny infant lying there, he proclaimed, "Here's baby Jesus in his car seat." Well, he's 3 years old in this modern time. Why wouldn't he think it's not a car seat? We all love nativity scenes, baby Jesus in the manger, Mary and Joseph hovering reverently over the holy child, shepherds and wise men, assorted cattle and sheep and camels, and of course, a donkey. But as someone has noted, there's always one person missing from the nativity scene. Correct me if I'm wrong, writes Reverend Derek Aker, for I imagine that collectively, we have seen a tremendous amount of Christmas displays. So if you found him somewhere, please let me know. Maybe somewhere someone has put him in one. But have you ever seen John the Baptist in any nativity scene? I personally have not. He would be there with his hairy, unkempt, wild-looking guy wearing camel's hair. There would be a piece of locust probably caught between his teeth and dyed honey dripping down in his beard. Louder than any Santa saying, "Ho, ho, ho," you would hear the voice of John the Baptist screaming, "The kingdom of God is near." Has anyone noticed a figure like that in any nativity scene? I've never seen a nativity scene featuring John the Baptist. Yet on this second Sunday in Advent, we always encounter a lonely figure sounding out in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord." According to Luke John was Jesus' second cousin. John was also the product of a miraculous birth. His parents were both quite elderly when John was born. And according to Luke's account, before the angel Gabriel was dispatched to the Virgin Mary, he first appeared to the elderly priest named Zechariah. At the time Zechariah was in the temple performing his priestly function, Gabriel told Zechariah that he and his wife Elizabeth would have a son, even though she was far past normal childbearing age. And Zechariah became literally speechless at this announcement, and his speech did not return until he named his newborn son John. John the Baptist came from good stock. Both Zechariah and Elizabeth were of the priestly lineage. Elizabeth was about 6 months pregnant when a much younger cousin Mary came to her and announced that she also had conceived the child, but her child was of the Holy Spirit. Elizabeth's unborn child jumped for joy in the womb at Mary's announcement. So John the Baptist's birth was a special event, just as Jesus' birth was very special, although it was not a virgin birth. Big difference there. We know nothing of John's childhood, but we have a very vivid picture of him as an adult. He was a preacher of justice and righteousness who called the people to a baptism of repentance. And people poured out of Jerusalem to go out into the desert to hear John preach his very austere message. Among those who came to John to be baptized was his cousin Jesus. The Gospel of Matthew tells us that John was reluctant to baptize Jesus. And Jesus said, "I need to be baptized by you." So Jesus persuaded John to baptize him. Now, the Scriptures are also very clear about John's role in the drama of the Nativity. John was to prepare the way for the coming of the Lord. The Jews of Jesus' day expected Elijah to come before the Messiah. So it said, "And he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the prophets' parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Out of Luke. "And behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me." Out of Malachi 3:1. This is why the disciples asked Jesus in Matthew 17:10, "Why then do the teachers of the law say that Elijah must come first?" Jesus tells his disciples that Elijah has already come in the person of John the Baptist. And this was John's role, to prepare the way. Nixon made his historic visit to the People's Republic of China in 1972. I remember that. Up until the 1970s, few major nations recognized the legitimacy of that nation's communist government. Nixon's visit had considerable political peril for the United States, since it risked straining relations with nations like Japan and the Soviet Union and Taiwan, especially since Taiwan considered them the real China and the real government. So someone had to go before Nixon to lay the groundwork for a visit. That someone was U.S. Secretary of State Henry Kissinger. In 1971, Kissinger made his first visit that was secret to China. And then in October 1971 and February 1972, to continue laying the groundwork for Nixon's visit. The details he worked out were staggering, and Kissinger did his job well, and history was made because he prepared the way. In much the same way that Henry Kissinger prepared the way by going first to China with these meetings, John the Baptist prepared the way for Christ to come into the world. Now, John's message was one of righteousness and justice. John's message was much more austere and hard than that of Christ, but it was a necessary message. People needed to know what was at stake before they could be redemptive work of the Redeemer. One writer compared the work of John the Baptist to that of a doctor, and I'll probably butcher this name, Ignaz Philip Semmelweis, today known as the Savior of Mothers. In 1818, he was born into a world of women dying, and they were dying in the act of childbirth. The finest hospitals lost 1 out of 6 young mothers to a scourge known as childbed fever. And here's why. Doctors routinely went in the morning and went in and did autopsies, and then they left there and went to visit mothers and did childbirthing. And they did it without washing their hands. Can you imagine that? Going from a corpse to deliver a baby without washing your hands. Unheard of today. We wouldn't think about it. But he was the first man to link that infection coming from that to the mother's dying. So he spent his life lecturing and debating with his colleagues. He said, "Women are dying, and I'm not asking for anything world-shaking. I'm only asking you to wash. For God's sake, wash your hands." But virtually no one believed him, in spite of the fact that various studies show that hand-washing reduced mortality to less than 1%. But doctors and midwives had been delivering babies for thousands of years without washing their hands, and no outspoken Hungarian was to change them now. And Semmelweis' practice earned widespread acceptance only after his death, when Louis Pasteur confirmed that he was right. And all he asked people to do was wash their hands. Now John the Baptist came telling people to wash themselves as well. He wasn't trying to protect them physically, but he was trying to get them to wash themselves in the baptism of repentance for their spiritual health. And that's what his baptism was all about. You can't prepare the way for the Lord unless you rid yourself of your sins. And that's true for us as well today. People who heard John the Baptist preach then, his message still rings true today. If you have difficulty getting to the Christmas spirit, take a moment and reflect and look into your heart and see if your problem could be with greed or with lust or with anger or with resentment or with guilt, because sin always robs us of the joy regardless of the season, whether it's Christmas or Easter or just a regular day of the week. Sin always robs us. You and I need to repent of our sins as we prepare ourselves for Christmas. We all have issues with sin, each and every one of us that are here today. Perhaps it is the sin of being obsessed with our own needs and our own concerns, self-absorbed. We're getting more and more of that if you watch television, and more and more. Perhaps it is the sin of being obsessed with materialism and greed, consumerism-driven society. It may consist simply of being blindness to the needs of others and their wants and their desires. A Peanuts cartoon featuring Linus writing a letter to Santa Claus. "Dear Santa, please don't bother to come to my house this year. I realize that there's so many children who will not have a Christmas at all. Go to someone who is needy." And Lucy walks by and happens to read the letter. And in exasperation, she says, "What kind of letter is that?" And Linus responds, "Well, I'm hoping he'll find my attitude particularly refreshing." Well, I suspect Santa would find it refreshing. That is not where most of us are. And I'm not talking about just children. It's true of adults also. The more we have, it seems like the more we need. And the more we feel we need, the less we feel we have to share with others. And Christmas, ironically, brings out the worst in us. Do you see the TV reports about Black Friday? And how about theft? It goes up at Christmas. See the story about the one family that traveling the East Coast and got caught? Van loaded, going into stores, just stealing everything they could, small items. Van full, and they opened the door, all these toys fell out. Homes being robbed, telling you how to preserve your home so people won't break in and steal your things during Christmas. In Jesus' name, we go on a binge that maybe mocks the Savior born in a stable among the least and the lowest. I was amused to read a review of a Christmas song that a popular singer, Cliff Richard, released in England a few years back. The song reaches the top 10 charts in Great Britain, and the lyrics of the song entitled Savior's Day reflect Cliff Richard's Christian faith and included such lines as, "Life can be yours on Savior's Day. Don't look back or turn away." A pop magazine reviewed the song, and the reviewer wrote these words about Savior's Day. It's just, oh. He said, "The song is okay," talking about Christmas and the Savior, "but there's no holly, no mistletoe, no wine, no presents around a tree, no Santa." And then he said, "This song has absolutely nothing to do with Christmas." Oh, if it doesn't make you laugh, it ought to make you cry. John the Baptist would probably have a few choice words to say about that. In essence, he would tell that man to repent of his sins and to find Jesus Christ as your Savior. He would tell us to open our hearts to the real meaning of Christmas. He would help us look beyond our needs to the needs of those who are less fortunate. He would say, "Prepare the way of the Lord." And I ask you this morning, are you ready for Christmas? The real Christmas, not the one that the world is giving to us and that we are buying into, literally buying into. But are you ready for the real meaning of Christmas, what it is really all about? Or do you need to have a visit with the missing figure in the nativity scene? May God bless you. Amen.